I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts.
Hello, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the Creative Guts podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you've been following along for a while, thank you. We really appreciate it, and we're glad you keep coming back.
On today's episode, we're going to talk with Deborah Holloway. Deborah is the new executive director of Arts and Reach, a New Hampshire-based nonprofit that provides teenage girls with a platform to develop their creative freedom and power of voice in a positive, supportive setting. Deborah is also a former writing instructor, an educational researcher, and an oil painter. So we have a lot to cover today, Laura.
We do.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Art is like her life glue between her job and her hobby and her everything.
Everything. Amazing. And that's kind of the dream.
And the combination between all that art and the sort of secondary mission of empowering women.
It's going to be tough to fit it all into one episode.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Creative Guts with Deborah Holloway. So thank you for joining us, Deborah.
My pleasure.
Let's start by talking about Arts and Reach. So you haven't been the executive director for very long, but you have been involved with the organization for almost 20 years. Tell us about the organization and your involvement.
So Arts and Reach began in 1997, and our founder, Kristen Forcilius, graduated from college from UNH, had this great idea to create a summer day camp for adolescent girls, and at the time it was middle school girls, who otherwise didn't have anything to do in the summer and who were interested in the arts and wanted to be part of a creative community. So in year two, I happened to be looking for a dissertation site for my PhD, and I was interested in doing a sociological study on adolescent girls involved in the arts and its impact on their identity development. And I knew a person who knew Kristen, and she said, you have to contact Kristen, ask her if you can study her site. So I did, and I made a trip back to New Hampshire. At the time, I was living in Colorado, going to University of Colorado. Came home to visit my family, went to visit Kristen, told her about my idea, and she welcomed me in. And there were a few stipulations. I was doing participant observation ethnography for my research, so I was to be one of the girls and not draw attention to the research. Mm-hmm. So I did that. So my first summer, I was an honorary air girl. I even ended the summer with a t-shirt along with all the other girls. And the only thing that really set me apart was that I drove them as well as did everything with them.
Right.
So in the second summer of my research, I replaced Kristen's co-founder as her co-teacher that summer. Her co-founder had decided to go off to graduate school. And so Kristen asked me if I would teach with her. My background was in teaching English. So we became co-teachers the summer of 99. And at that point, I said, you know, you really should start a nonprofit. This, you can't just do this, you know, summer to summer. And encouraged them to apply for 501c3, establish a board. I became their first board member and de facto board chair. And and we kind of, you know, started building the nonprofit at that point and talking about air around the community, trying to generate some donors. And in 2000, I earned my PhD and kind of went off and did other work, but I stayed involved in air as a supporter, a donor. I did a follow-up research study in 2005. Interviewing at that time, the program had expanded to high school and middle school. And so I did a follow-up study in 2015. At that point, Mary Jo Manuski was executive director, and she wanted to do a comprehensive alumni survey. So I helped her design the survey. I did all the analysis and wrote the survey report for that. And that has been really instrumental piece in terms of documenting the impact that AIR has on those it serves. And You know, we've been able to show that, for instance, 90% of AIR participants go on and graduate from high school, 78% go on to post-secondary education, 63% continue to do community service in their communities after AIR, which I think is really significant. 75% vote. And for young people age 18 to 26, that is a huge number compared to what is the general percentage of that age group voting.
That's a fascinating metric because I wouldn't even have thought to have asked that. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
And it speaks to, you know, the level of which they are involved in their communities. Also that they have a voice. And that's what AIR is all about. It's about trying to cultivate teenage girls' confidence in themselves and their ability to voice who they are, who they want to be, what they think the world should be. And it's a phenomenal program.
I wish I had this program when I was a teenage girl. I really would have benefited from it.
That is the most common response I hear.
I bet.
And I've heard, you know, over these 21 years about AIR. Every time I describe what we do and our impact on girls, women say, I could have used a program like this.
Yeah. Because I was definitely, I was always an artist. I was always actively making, but I wasn't confident. It also would have introduced other art forms to me, maybe that I wouldn't have. It seems like looking at your website, it's a very diverse collective of artistic endeavors, which is exciting.
Oh, definitely. So from the beginning, AIR always took a kind of multidisciplinary approach to the arts, theater, visual arts, dance, movement, literary arts. There's always writing involved with the program. And over the years, it's evolved to incorporate even more diverse kind of forms of art. So, for instance, this summer, we had a digital art and poetry program that was influenced by Mary Oliver's poetry. And they studied Mary Oliver's poetry and her connection to the natural world. They visited natural sites around the seacoast and wrote poems and illustrated their poems and then took photographs, video, and soundscape.
Wow.
And put together an installation at the Newmarket Mill Space. That was really neat. We also, every summer, we have a program called Songworks where teens learn about songwriting, vocal music. They write their own songs. They record their own songs in a professional recording studio in Dover called Noise Floor. And they give a concert of their original music. And as a result of recording their music, we produce a CD.
I'm feeling so jealous right now.
So, no, yeah.
Me too. This is amazing. Like, thank gosh this is out there. This is so cool.
Yeah.
So another unique program that we did for the first time this year was a program that has had the name Phenomenal Women, influenced by Maya Angelou's work. And that program always runs in the spring after school. And all our programs run after school and during school vacations. So summer, February, April vacation weeks, and then after school in the fall and in the spring. So our spring after school program, Phenomenal Women this spring, was all about fashion design and upscaling clothing. And they dyed clothes. They made clothing patches and repurposed clothes with their patches. They did some sewing. And then they did a non-traditional fashion show to culminate the program. All of our programs end with a public display of the girls' creations and their artworks as a way to show the world what they do, but also, you know, show their voice through their work and allow their family, friends, and the public to celebrate them and what they do and be able to reinforce all those positive vibes they get from doing the work and being a part of this creative community.
Yeah, that must like bolster their confidence even more.
It's a big part of the formula.
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah.
It sounds really wonderful. And I know AIR has a very impressive looking list of these contributing artists who help. What is their role with the program?
So in every program, in addition to having a culmination event, we have professional artists from our local community co-lead the programs with our staff. And they bring their you know, their expertise in their art area and their skills, and make community with our teens, showing them that, you know, anyone can make art and be creative. And so they lead skills workshops. They help the teens figure out, you know, what they, how they want to display their final works. And, you know, we work with people who are visual artists, theater artists, musicians, songwriters, vocal artists, dance choreographers. It just, it all depends on what the program's going to focus on.
Are they always women?
No.
Just curious.
Yeah.
When you said fashion design, the person who always pops into my mind is Terry Robinson, who's with the Black Heritage Trail and is a fashion designer. So.
Oh, that's interesting. So our Phenomenal Woman program worked with Sam Paolini, who has...
Of course. Yeah.
Sam is fabulous. They've done a number of programs with our teens, and everything from mural painting here in Exeter at the Exeter YMCA 2 springs ago.
I remember that.
A mural painting project on the side of teetotalers in Summersworth. Sam worked with our teens to do mural painting project, and they did the upscaling project. So
that's very cool. I love teetotaler because I love Emmett. I saw him just last night.
This is really funny. This is just a personal side note, but literally 20 minutes before you arrived, I was finishing up an art lesson with my 2 second cousins from Vermont, who are twin girls. They're 11 years old. And one of them was working on bookmaking with my other cousin. One was painting with me while talking about politics and if they were an adult, who they would have voted for. And they brought this up on their own. And just so much of what you have said has already kind of like mapped out on, you know, some of the kids that I'm working with on stuff. And it's just very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of myself at that age and just how much I was fearful of putting things out there and judgment, and especially being a girl when boys are usually louder and more out there about what they're proud about. And, you know, and these two girls have an amazing mom who's very much like an advocate for putting your voice out there. So the kids are very into activism and stuff like that. Does activism ever play a part in anything that people create? Maybe not necessarily what you guys are pushing, because I would imagine you'd be bipartisan, but are there, do you see that ever come out in any of what the kids work on?
Oh, certainly. We're nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And more so in terms of social justice, female rights, the rights of people of all kinds and types and stripes. And every year we have a table at Pride in Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. And we recently changed our mission from, we, for a long time, our mission stated arts and reach empowers teenage girls through mentoring in the arts. Mm-hmm. And our mentoring is, well, started getting confused with like the big brother, big sisters version of mentoring, like one-on-one mentoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we do some of that, certainly, but we're a community. We're not, you know, one-on-one art lessons kind of thing. So, or music lessons. And so that was a little confused. That would get confused.
Yeah.
And so we went through a year-long strategic planning process and looking at our mission and thinking really hard about what we do and what our impact is. And so now our mission is empowering teenage girls through inclusive creative community. And we welcome, you know, all teenage girls, but some of those girls could be questioning their sexual identity, mm-hmm. Or their gender. We are welcoming. So it's, you know, and respectful, and every program begins, we do a lot of kind of circles where every day starts with a circle, every program begins with a circle, and it's a lot of talk time and sharing back. And so each program begins in the first circle with identifying our pronouns that we would like to be referred to by. And we try really hard to, you know, respect what teens self-identify. So there's that. Last year, our theme was Still She Rises, which was based off a Maya Angelou poem. And it was all about cultivating courage. And so a lot of the work that the teens did was all around this notion of, you know, what is courage and how do we build it within ourselves and what does it mean to be courageous? This year, our theme that's guiding all of our programs is reclaiming joy. There has been, you know, just kind of generally in our culture today, we felt like we needed to respond to teens, you know, feeling of fear and angst of yep. what's going on kind of in our larger culture and, you know, kind of the cultivation of hate and counter that a bit. We also serve a high percentage of teens who experience anxiety and depression. And so we also felt like we needed to kind of respond to the quick rise in teen girls experiencing anxiety and depression today versus even 20 years ago. And we're seeing that in data all the time. We're seeing it in our own organizational data. And so the focus on reclaiming joy is all around looking for those small moments of joy in our lives and in our art and through our art and how we can celebrate those and, you know, try to use those kernels of joy to, you know, build a more positive sense mm-hmm. of ourselves, the world around us, our community. So it also serves our whole, you know, kind of focus on inclusive community and that we want to create a joyous space for teens to be in. And being a teenager is not always joyful.
It can be very angsty and, yeah, a lot
it
of
can
drama.
Feel like the world's on top of you yeah. and you don't have avenues, you know, to express yourself, to be creative. Even if you are creative, what do you do with that? You know, right. where can you go with that other yeah. than, you know, outside of your own bedroom kind of thing or your family? So we try to be that space for them. And one of the comments that we get from teens over and over is that AIR is a safe space where they can be themselves, where it's non-judgmental, where you can be who you want to be and you will be accepted for that. And we also hear a lot, we're like a family, aww, you know, where you're fully lovely. Supported. So
God, wouldn't it be nice if the world was just like that?
Yeah.
You know?
So one of the things we're seeing actually is that last year, our girls who did multiple programs throughout the year in AIR was about 34%. So in our 2019 fiscal year, our repeat rate went up to 50%.
Wow.
And this summer, we're seeing, you know, girls who started in our summer programs, we did four summer programs, come back program after program. And to me, that's our biggest success
yeah.
Figure, that we are having girls that just want to come back and stay a part of the community. About 4 years ago, we started a program called Advanced On AIR. So we started noticing that, wow, we're really getting a lot of repeat participants and we need to do something for them. Our programs went until 18 and we recognized that there were young women who still wanted to be a part of this community. So we have Advanced On AIR that serves our teens who have been involved in at least three programs and want to stay involved. And so it serves teens age 16 through 20. So it allows young women who are working, who mm-hmm. might be going to community college, who might even be at UNH, who want to still participate in AIR. We've adjusted kind of the model of the program. So our programs for 13 through 18 year olds are multi-session and multiple months. So Advanced On AIR, and it's one-day workshops mm-hmm. In various art areas. It also involves performances and community service, usually art-related. And it also allows our older teens to be apprentices in our younger teens programs.
Nice.
Not cool. saying that all that articulately. But so they're serving as apprentices for our younger teens. And it's really amazing to see how they develop leadership skills and work skills by changing their role in the programs. And they really grow a lot. We tend to get one or two apprentices for each of our programs for younger teens.
That's amazing. That's such a cool way to have it kind of go full circle.
Right. Keep building the community.
Yes, exactly. For your programs, do they cost teens money or is there like a fee?
All our programs are free of charge to all participants and we provide transportation.
Wow.
So we are a...
I definitely want this program. Take me now.
We are entirely funded by donors and grants and corporate sponsors. So that's mainly my job, to bring funding to the organization, keep writing grants, make sure that, you know, there's funding for these programs to happen.
Laura's looking at me because I've been complaining about writing grants all summer.
You know that tune well.
You mentioned measuring success and between looking at your sort of repeat rate and what you did when you were researching and looking at the impact of the program on participants, both in the 90s and then again, as a nonprofit director, that jumped out to me because that's, of course, something that's really, really, really important to us is being able to show metrics. And when you're fundraising, you need those metrics in order to get people to, you know, care. What we're doing makes a difference. So it looks like you do a little bit of that already. How do you sort of look at the qualitative stuff, which to us feels really obvious? We've been talking about like self-esteem and boosting confidence and, you know, et cetera. How do you deal with all that?
So we have a pretty robust evaluation system for our program. So we have pre and post program surveys for parents and participants. We also do a post program survey with all our teaching artists. We have regular check-ins, obviously, with staff around what's happening in programs, what's happening through the relationships that they have with teens and also what they're observing teen to teen. And we keep track of all of that information. And we use that in conjunction with information we collect as a part of our applications to see what population we're serving from year to year, which there are definitely shifts from year to year. And then to see where participants are starting their programs and what they have to say at the end of programs. So, for instance, my comment about teens saying that we provide a safe space, we see that comment over and over and over on evaluations. AIR is like a family where, you know, it's I'm not judged and I can be who I want to be. That's the kind of comment we see over and over and over again. We also have some statements that we ask teens to kind of rate, you know, their level of relatability to that remain consistent from evaluation to evaluation so we can track kind of the, you know, responses to those set questions and those set rating scales. So we use that in our grants. I use that in our grants because I'm the grant writer for AIR. I actually started writing grants 3 years ago with Mary Jo, and it was during a meeting about coming up with language for our mission as we were going through the revision process when Mary Jo said that she wanted to retire. And the president of the board turned to me and said, "You wouldn't want to do this, would you?" And Mary Jo said, "Nah, she wouldn't want to do this." And I looked at them both and I said, yeah, I think I would.
Oh, I love that. So, I love that you got involved with the organization 20 years ago and now, boom, you're the executive director.
It seems like a natural trajectory for me. I was at an event talking about why I wanted to be executive director, and it really is a part of my blood, heart, and soul. You know, I've been living with AIR for so long, and when I was contemplating whether to apply for the job, I was driving my 15-year-old daughter around, and she turned to me in the passenger seat and said, "Mom, you've got to do this. You love AIR." To hear her, she's grown up with AIR. She's always known about AIR because I was involved with it before she was even a thought.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it feels pretty special. But back to your research question. So in 2015, we did the comprehensive alumni survey. We're repeating that this year.
Oh, that's great.
And so every 5 years, we'll be repeating that survey to continue to document ongoing impact with teens. And we're not going to just do it with the new alumnae between 15 and 220. We're going to resurvey everyone because everyone's aged 5 years. So we want to see what those responses look like on an ongoing basis. So I think it's really important as a nonprofit that you have a kind of comprehensive approach to research. Otherwise, you are just telling stories, and I don't want to undervalue the process of telling stories. I think stories are really important, but you need to move beyond anecdote.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so as the new executive director, do you have any like grand plans to make any big changes?
No.
I think it's working.
For 22 years, AIR has pretty much had a similar model. It's kind of changed here and there. We've gone from a 6-week summer program where girls did all 6 weeks in the beginning to 9 programs throughout the year. We've gone from serving about 10 girls to 100 girls yearly. People often ask me, have you ever thought about expanding, statewide to another region? And we serve Rockingham and Stratford County. For us, it would just be hard to take our model and try to do it, say, in Keene. For one thing, we're not of that community. We're so grounded in our local community, our local artists and our local art venues. We don't have a program space. We rent facilities for every program depending on the group of teens who have signed up and kind of where they're coming from. We like to try to decrease our transportation, the length of time that the teens are on the van. But also to accommodate whatever that program focus is. For instance, in the fall, our performance project will be based at West End Studio Theater in Portsmouth.
Cool.
And it's a three-dimensional program. It's theater, it's dance, and it's design. So teens focus on either developing the script and the theater production.
With Catherine Stewart?
With Catherine Stewart.
Who's on our list, right?
I love her.
Yeah.
Or learn choreography and dance from Sarah Duclos. Or learn design and develop all of the costumes and stage settings with Sam Pellini.
Oh, my God.
So it's, and then they put on a couple shows in at the end, which will be January 31st and February 1st.
That's awesome.
It's quite an experience. All of the work the teens do is original. We're not bringing a script to them. They're writing the script. They're coming up with the concepts. Oh. They're staging it, with a lot of influence from the teaching artists, giving them advice, helping them figure out, how to make this work. But so much of it is them. And, their voices and, what they want it to be about.
That's amazing.
I said it before, but I'll just say it again. I am so jealous.
Let's go do it.
Just I know, right?
Pretend you're
rewind time and
16.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd pass for that now, but. Oh, my gosh. And so you're a creative yourself. Is that right?
So actually, I'm an AIR girl. So I was a writing teacher and I was a writer. I graduated from UNH from the English department. I have a bachelor's and master's from there and did a lot of poetry writing and nonfiction writing. But after doing my research with AIR, I wanted to learn visual art. So I went to art school for 3 years when my daughter was little and studied painting and drawing and sculpture And so I still am an oil painter. I don't do much of it these days. I'm too busy, but I have been known to paint. And I used to do, you know, commissions and show a bit, but that's a little bit on the back burner now.
Yeah.
But I did have the opportunity in June. We took a group of Advance On Air teens out to Star Island for the day, and I led water painting workshop there, which was so great to be able to do that.
Cool.
So every now and then I get to dip my fingers.
That's nice. That's so nice.
Do you still write at all?
I do, you know, here and there, mostly grants.
Besides grants, yeah.
But, I was just meeting with a donor recently, and he said to me, you need to write. You need to write once a week. Sit down, carve out some time. I was like, okay, I'll try. I knew him as an undergraduate. He was a professor at UNH.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's a supporter.
So at the tail end of a interview, we do rapid fire questions, which are not always rapid, but we try to. So basically, feel free to answer, you know, at whatever length you want. But, you know, they're supposed to be kind of quick. Your first impression, your first thought. We will start off with an easy one. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Mine too.
Favorite taste?
Cucumbers.
Oh, that's a new one. Yeah. Favorite smell?
The ocean.
Yeah.
Just hearing someone say that just takes me there.
Like, we both made the same noise.
Yeah.
Favorite texture?
Like soft and smooth.
Favorite sound?
Such a hard question.
I know. I think it's actually when the rain is hitting the leaves in the woods and you hear it, it's the sound of the rain on the leaves as it's falling.
That's very tangible.
Mm-hmm. I was picturing myself standing in the woods.
I walk in the woods every morning, so that's...
Favorite museum or exhibit that you've ever visited?
Oh, that's hard.
They get progressively harder.
They do.
I think my favorite museum is the Guggenheim in New York. I just love that museum.
Cool, I've never been.
It's a spiral, and you spiral up, and I just love that.
I've seen it in movies, I think.
Yeah. It's cool. I love starting it doesn't matter what the exhibit is. I just love walking that spiral and the beauty of the architecture of the museum.
Worst job you ever took when you weren't doing a creatively minded job?
cleaning low end motel rooms.
Ooh. Yeah. Cleaning was mine too. I feel you.
What other artist has influenced you the most?
Probably Georgia O'Keeffe.
I thought for sure you were going to say, like, the girls at Air, of course.
There's so many, I couldn't pick one.
Yeah, that would be tough. Most inspiring location you've traveled to?
Oh, no. Recently, Glacier National Park in Montana.
Cool. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Pursue what you love and your passions and let that see you through.
It's beautiful advice.
Well said. When you do have time to create, either writing or painting, do you have any studio habits or creative habits that you like, you know, that's kind of like part of the process?
I love setting up I always set up my palette the exact same way. And I love that process of laying out lines of oil paint and just getting everything set up before I start. And I always start with pencil drawings. Mm-hmm. So, but there's something about laying out the paint. It's just, I do it the same way in the same order every time.
It's relaxing.
It is. And it just gets me in the right, you know, mind space to
I don't set mine up in the same way every time, though. I'm just realizing that now. But I do like to have all the colors out that I know I'm going to be doing.
I really like asking people that question because I really like watching you sort of like reflect on it like, do I do that?
Oh, right. That's interesting. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm not even aware of some of the things I do. And then I'm like, I do that differently. Okay, that's interesting.
Well, do you paint in acrylics or oil?
I do oils and watercolors primarily.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then I do some printmaking too. And I used to do sculpture, but not anymore as much. So just a bit of a mix of everything. And I go through phases. I'll do a ton of oils for like 3 or 4 months, and then I'll just do a ton of watercolors. And I won't touch oils for a year. And then I'll do, you know, it kind of ping pong around. I also do music, so I'm torn all over the place.
For our listeners, there's lots of pointing going on in here. We're in Laura's studio.
I love being surrounded by an artist's work this and being able to see, you know, kind of a body of work.
Do you listen to music when you paint?
I do. I tend to put something in Pandora and just listen to what comes up.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to think too much about it because it takes my attention away from what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. We've only had one artist so far say like, oh, no, I paint in dead silence.
And lastly, is there one piece of work of yours that stands out as kind of the best representation as you as a creative?
So when I studied art, I went to an atelier school where we learned traditional, you know, drafting and, sight size, you know, drawing and, worked from casts, you know, started with black and white from casts and then moved up to color and still life and then, figures. It's hard to say. Now, I do a lot of landscapes, although I've been moving myself into abstraction. I actually like abstraction the best. I just don't do it well.
I like your abstracts.
Thank you.
We were all over your website.
I have a hard time. I can't do them. My brain always goes to representational, and a lot of other artists in this building are abstract artists, and I greatly admire it because it's far harder to do than you think.
Well, so that's what I'm trying. I actually kind of welcomed this break from doing a lot of painting because I kind of want to put like a stop on my representation focus. And so I'm like, I'm just going to walk away from it from a little bit and then maybe be able to come back, maybe take some workshops in abstraction and see if I can, because I really, that's what I like looking at. I really like contemporary art. So like, I want to paint more contemporary art. I don't, you know, and my art is very like old school French. I don't know if I really have a piece that represent, you know, because if you look at the art hanging in my studio, you'd be like, what did she say? She wants to do abstraction? These are all very...
Well, we can change the question after. It's more, where does your heart lie as far as the direction?
That's where it lies. So, and I love, that's what I love about the art that we do at AIR, because it isn't this like tight representational art. It's really more like the art that I want to make. So this is the time when I would say, you know, I aspire to make art like the girls at AIR. That's much freer and more expressive of who they are rather than what they're looking at. So
that's beautiful.
And that is a perfect way to full circle
hit
the end note on this amazing conversation.
Yep.
Every person we talk to, but especially you, like, I feel more buoyant and inspired.
Oh, thank you.
You know, like, I just feel like, to what you were saying earlier, like, there is a lot that bogs you down in the world of our greater culture and the world in general of negativity. And just hearing about these amazing pockets that are promoting such good artistic expression out there that I didn't even know about AIR. And I'm so glad I do now. This just is very inspiring, which is exactly kind of what the whole mission of the podcast is to kind of spread the word on all these inspiring, wonderful people and stories.
Well,
that's how I feel about my job. Like, I get to talk about AIR, you know, and every time I talk about AIR, I just feel so good.
I can see it. Yeah. Like, just in your, like, in your countenance, you know, you kind of light up. Yeah.
And I have to give a shout out to my staff. They are amazing. Rebecca Romanowski, our program director, designs the most incredible program. She's the one who recruits the teaching artists, who decides on venues, who puts the curricula together, and she just does a fabulous job. And our program manager, Melanie Brown, unfortunately is leaving us at the end of the month. But her replacement we've already hired, and it's Kara Cabral, who's an amazing visual artist and has volunteered with our programs, has been a teaching artist in our programs, and I think she's going to be fabulous. So our program staff is really top notch.
That's really incredible. As a creative person and an artist yourself, you're literally surrounded by your staff who are artists and the teen girls who are participating and the contributing artists. Like, it must be almost overwhelming how inspiring that is.
It is every day. I mean, it, and you know, I know, you know, in nonprofits, we do get bogged down in, you know, raising money and writing grants, but I get to write about air.
Yes.
it's pretty powerful stuff. Yeah. So I, you know, I'm always, you know, it's a good thing to write about. It's a good thing to promote. Yeah. It's a great job.
That's awesome. We can't thank you enough for being on this podcast and sharing your story and your journey and how you got there. It's been really amazing. I know we keep saying the word inspiring, but I can't even think of anything more like it. It just is really freaking inspiring.
We need to buy a thesaurus to put with the podcast stuff.
Well, it's been fun. It's really my pleasure.
Aww, that's so cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So with that,
show us your creative guts.
Wow, that was incredible. So when I was listening to Deborah talk, I just kept thinking about how incredible it is to be surrounded by creativity all the time. And then I realized that's exactly what we're doing on this podcast.
It was overwhelming almost how awesome that interview was. Like, I know we said it a bunch. I'm sorry. It was so inspiring and so cool. And I just think, you know, job well done to these folks, to the founders of it, to Deborah, to her whole staff. You know, to have something that's free, that's a free resource and has transportation. We were just talking about this, like has a method for anyone of any background, any income to partake in this.
The transportation thing is like mind-boggling. It's almost not believable. That is just a whole nother level. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
And Deborah was just a very warm, amazing person who she really lives and breathes this. It's amazing how much like it's no effort for her to talk about this. You know, she loves it so much and she knows it so in and out. And though she's only been the executive director for a short period of time, she's been involved with it almost since conception.
Yeah, that's an incredible story.
Yeah.
And it's so rare to be a new executive director with the institutional knowledge of the history of an organization.
Yeah, that doesn't always happen. That's amazing.
And you can tell the whole time she's talking how passionate she is about it, how much she loves it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not work to talk about it. And that's when you've got a great job.
We could blather on about her all day.
We could. But since we've been going on and on and on about this really cool organization, you probably want to know how to check it out.
Yep. If you want to learn more about Arts in Reach, you can find them on the web, artsinreach.org, and on Facebook. And you can also find Deborah's art. She has a website, DeborahHollowayFineArt.com.
Nice. So there's two awesome places for you to go check out right now, unless you're driving, and then just remember to go do that. And again, I wish I was a 15-year-old girl right now so that I could go be a part of it.
And you can preview all the contributing artists, at least half of which will definitely be interviewed on this podcast.
Yes, a bunch of amazing people.
Yep.
Oh, I can't get over it. It's so cool. If you want to hear more from us, Creative Guts Podcast, you can find Creative Guts on all major podcast platforms and on Facebook, where we're making it easier for you to connect with our guests.
Thank you all for tuning in, as always, and we'll have a new episode for you next Wednesday.
Good job. You didn't spontaneously giggle.
And I said it in my sultry voice.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Oh, gosh. That was a little much.
We're going to make that a button. Enjoy. Creative guts.
Creative guts.
Guts that are creative. You know when they do the spoof perfume and cologne ads and they like whisper? That's guts that are creative. Say something in French. How do you say creative guts in French?
I don't know either of those words in French.
Creative guts.
Bonbon. Croissant.
We hope you enjoy this following episode with Deborah Holloway for Creative Guts.
You sound like just like Pepe Le Pew.
Mangerie. Hey, Pepe Le Pew is French, so I'll take it. I don't really practice a French accent ever, so I'm impressed that I even came up with that.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. If you want to hear more from us, Anne, you just cost us so much tape. What was that?
That was such a cool noise.
That
am. I'm totally joking, you know. I'm joking.
I was like, where did that come from?
Your face. Your face was so, it was so like, oh no.
Was that that's music?
That's our blooper.
No, that was materials.
Oh.
The stuff she's working with.
It sounded so cool. Yeah, I'm glad we have it recorded.
It sounded like music. It was really cool.
It was really cool.